podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hey, don't forget the Johnsons are coming over. I want to find a rosé Jill hasn't tried yet.
Let's go exploring at Total Wine. Their prices are ridiculously low.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, always low prices. Total Wine and more.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's actually Geico.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah, they were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome to the Fatback 4 podcast with me, Gav, and of course, Keith, Shawnee, and Grizz. We haven't had a game this weekend, and as Shawnee said to me on Friday, no game till Monday, they can't ruin me weekend, which was the crack. So, yeah, we have a game tomorrow night against Wolves at Molineux, which we're going to discuss later on in the show. There's a couple of bits we want to get through tonight, I'm going to be honest. But we're going to start. The first thing we want to start with is this Mane v Salah thing that's popped up in The Athletic, and a little bit has been made of it over the last day or so. An article co-written by James Pearce, Crofton, is it Crofton?
Adam Crofton, yeah.
Adam Crofton and Simon Newells. A big, long article, 5,000 words or something like that, about everything that's gone on with Liverpool this season. But something that's come out of it... I don't know if there's anything in it, but it seems to be Mane v Salah and an issue that seems to be growing there, or people think it's growing. Grizz, I'm going to come to you first. I said this a couple of months ago. Now, I'm not telling you, look at me, I know fucking everything, but I thought on the pitch there was a bit of an issue between them two, passing the ball to each other and stuff like that, and I probably overread it, to be honest with you. But do you see any issue with these, or do you see any issue in this article? Is it just a nothing, Grizz? Is it just a small piece of an article that's being blown out of all context, I suppose?
There's many ways of looking at it, but sort of the view I have on it, it's quite an extensive piece. It's not based around the issues of Mane and Salah, so to speak. You know, it discusses sort of the season and everything that's gone sort of bad, wrong. You know, unlucky. It talks about sort of the transfer window that some felt, or many feel, FSG let Klopp down. It talks about sort of our last dash for centre-backs on the last 2 days or whatever. So it talks about everything, the COVID issues. And there's a section which talks about sort of the period where, you know, Salah does the interview with the Spanish publication. And then obviously when he gets substituted against Chelsea and his cheeky agent just does a cheeky tweet. So, you know, he talks about that in terms of, you know, Salah being upset about it, et cetera, and many of our Liverpool fan base need something to talk about always. In a controversial way, in a something to talk about, and something to just sort of add to the misery, maybe, or be divisive. You know, is every fan base, but we're we're no different. So there's subsections of our fan base that like to be divisive, and obviously social media is not the one where you start. interacting with wild people, basically. So accusations of racial undertones were being responded to by Jimbo and the other fella, Simon Hughes. Mm-hmm. And once you get into that, it's dangerous waters, isn't it? Look, some would say that it was slightly uncalled for in terms of they didn't need to mention it in that way, because look, which player doesn't like being hauled off? Which player, you know, show players don't have to get on. Your initial question was Mane and Salah, but I had to give you some context behind it, as usual. But look, Mane and Salah don't need to get on. I don't give a shit if they get on or whatever. Mm. As long as it doesn't affect their relationship or Liverpool on the pitch. Yeah. And look, we've had our own opinions on it. And we kind of disagree. Like, Shawnee has a different opinion to mine. I have a different opinion to you. So look, we all have our opinions. It's in an ideal world, you'd love your players all to be rosy and cozy and everything, but that doesn't work. And many a great team before this Liverpool team have had players. You know, the most famous example that's used is Sheringham and Cole. What a fucking team that was. And they hated the shit out of each other, but they were fantastic on the pitch. So, you know, these kind of things come to light when your team isn't doing well. And unfortunately, we're going through that patch or season where it's not hunky-dory. And so these things are being brought to light. I absolutely don't think there's anything behind it majorly. Absolutely not. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, Olivier says that Sadio and Mo celebrated with Jota against Red Bull Leipzig. They're good. Chris Brack says that James Pearce came out on Twitter and said he was tired of things being taken out of context, playing down the Salah and Mane talk. Keith, I'll come to you because, like, it is something that just a couple of months ago I just thought I noticed in games where they've chances to pass each other and they seem to look away from each other or go alone or whatever it might be. And then you had that Michael Owen stuff a week or so ago saying, oh, Mane probably doesn't go down because he knows Salah will take the penalty and he probably wants to score himself, which is fucking outrageous. But like Grizz says, Keith, we don't give a shit if they like each other or not. Once they're on the pitch and winning games, you know, who cares? And all right, this season hasn't been great. But I think there's, even if they don't like each other, there's way bigger issues in this season than Mo Salah and Sadio Mane not being best mates, isn't there?
Exactly. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there. This season hasn't been great. So every story becomes a bigger story. Do you know what I mean? Like, even down to that piece in The Athletic, it's a long piece in The Athletic, but it's not really giving too much information. It's just throwing a lot of information that's already out there. And, you know, it's not saying too much. Now, the bit about them not getting on, who cares? You know, who cares? Because Suarez and Sturridge didn't get on. Not to the extent of Cole and Sheringham. But, you know, and anyone that's played ball, you've all played ball, you don't have to like everyone that you play with. Do you know what I mean? You're not, you know, you're put together on a team, you do your job. I think it's been played out of, it's been exaggerated, this nonsense about not going down for a penalty because Salah takes it. We've said all along, there's a competitiveness between the two of them. The fact that they're both African players, they're both going for the, you know, to be the best player in Africa is a huge, huge deal. And we've got two of them on the team that will be competing for that honour. And I think that is a bit of a competitiveness between them, a bit of a rivalry. But I don't know how much is being made out of this now, you know, because we're not winning, we're not scoring. This has been a thing that's gone on for years, that Mo hasn't passed to Sadio or Sadio hasn't passed to Mo. But because we're not winning now, and we're playing poorly, and we're struggling, it's being magnified.
That's the key. Yeah, that's the key. Yeah.
Alex says he doesn't get on with his missus, but he still lives with her. Fair play to him. Shani, what do you make of this? Because, like, don't get me wrong, like, you know, you read that there's a big, long article, you know, there's loads in it, and this seems to have popped up, and like, the whole racial undertones thing is mad to me. You know, like, they're just two players. They mightn't get on. They might have arguments on the pitch or off the pitch. You know, famously the one at Burnley when Salah doesn't pass to Mane when you really should, going back the season before last.
Yeah, but you mentioned, you know, that there, Gav, right? Do you remember the conversation around that at the time, how it was being spoken about as a good thing? Remember on Match of the Day when Genius and Murphy were breaking it down. Like, that's what you want between teammates, that fire, that drive. That was when we were flying and when we were winning. And the context was completely different around the situation where it's just...
And you remember Firmino in the tunnel with the side eyes and...
Exactly.
And the talk was Manny had got in a strop, and by the time you left the dressing room, they were all slagging Manny.
They were
and
all
took her on the chin. Yeah.
And that goes to be said a lot for what's come out the last couple of weeks. Remember, there was apparently the Alisson bust up at Robertson and the boys were laughing it off in press conferences. Jordan Henderson commented on it. Like, the players are aware that this crap is talked about online. I think it's just blown out context, Gav, because of the way this season has panned out. If we were winning the top of the league by 15 points, nobody would give a crap.
Yeah.
Nobody would be talking about it. It wouldn't be a goer. It'd be a complete non-starter. These things happen in dressing rooms up and down the country. League One, League Two, Non-League, Premier League, Champions League, international football. Vicente Del Bosque famously said that he doesn't even bother trying to create any parity between the dressing room with the Real Madrid players, with Pique and Ramos. He said, you're in a dressing room full of alphas, but the thing is, they're on the same team and the end goal is all the same for everyone else, is to be successful. And at the end of the day, when that happens, nobody really cares about what goes on about that, because when it comes to it, they'd be there for each other. And I think it's rubbish this Mane doesn't pass to Salah. They both assisted each other numerous amount of times. If you were to ask people in the chat who scored more goals, they'd say Salah. If I ask people in the chat who has more assists out of two, they'd probably say Mane, but they're wrong. Salah is a more productive player on both ends, but he's seen as greedy. He's seen as greedy, but just because in passages of play, it looks like he is. And people just latch onto this. And I don't buy that this has got anything got to do with ethnicity or race or anything like that. Yeah. It's just a case of two alphas at the very top of the game competing for the top prizes, both as in terms of being in a team that can win Champions Leagues and league titles, and individual awards, and they're both going for it. They shared a golden boot a couple of seasons ago. These lads don't have to get on, like Keith said. They just have to play with each other. It's a non-story. It's a couple of lines picked out of a big, massive think piece by the lads on The Athletic, and I like a lot of the stuff that they do, but maybe it was uncalled for, but it was just an observation. That's all it was.
Let me just give... So I'm going to play devil's advocate, all right? This is not my opinion. This is the opinion of certain sections of the fan base that have raised the issue. So the issue about the races, the racial undertone is around the fact that they've picked out Salah as being high maintenance and shows dissent when he's... I'm paraphrasing because, you know, I do that. So it's Salah showing dissent, Salah showing sort of grumpiness and the mood swings when Milner had a near enough an argument on Klopp on the touchline. Henderson has sort of in the past passed Klopp, Old Trafford. Yeah. And there was another example given. So basically, Mane. What sections, what was it, Keith?
Mane as well, wasn't it?
Mane, yeah. Mane. So they're saying that why is Salah being targeted? It seems like Salah is being targeted in this piece, article, or you know, name called, when there is other incidents that have happened and they weren't sort of called out.
Can I jump in on this?
Those names wouldn't get clicked, Chris.
The only thing I would say about Salah, and I'm not digging Salah out, but when Salah didn't get the captaincy against Midtjylland, it came out in the press from Salah's camp that he wasn't happy, right? When Salah got taken off against Chelsea, his agent within 2 minutes was putting up a tweet with a full stop. And Salah, the talk, you know, there's a constant sort of talk with Salah, and I think that's where it comes from. I don't agree with it, to be honest. I think his agent's a fucking idiot. I think he's too quick to be putting out stupid things like that. I think Mo Salah, as Shani touched on there, Mo Salah is a greedy player by nature, but he's a forward player. You want to see that with him. I just think he's come out with stuff, or his camp have come out with stuff on the occasions that it's happened to Mo Salah that makes him look maybe in a worse light and an easier target. Like Milner, you don't hear, Milner gets taken off, he's not happy, we score a minute later, then he's breaking his bollocks laughing with Klopp. It's not a racial thing. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's just maybe that Salah has been, a couple of times it's happened and there's been too much made of it from internally from the Salah camp.
It's maybe what that, Sean,
I could be wrong.
Yeah, but weeks, though, well, like, you know, well, nobody's going to give a bollocks. If James Pearce wrote an article about giving out about coming off, nobody would read it. No. That's nothing against Milner.
Yeah, he's not a global icon.
He's not an icon like Salah. I think if I'm being honest, Mo Salah's ability as a footballer and his impact on the Premier League is massively overlooked. I think what he's done since he's come in, his goal scoring record is phenomenal. But I think what fans they don't really realise is like how big Salah is in the Arabic world doesn't translate into our culture, into the British media, into European media. He's a mega, mega star. He's huge. Like Rummenigge said a couple of weeks ago, he is the African Messi. He is the 100%. He is the great one. Like we don't see that, Gab, because we don't see all the ads that he does for Vodafone in Egypt who are a massive. We don't see all these endorsements. Salah is a big star. It's so hard to keep down to earth and like that. You look at him, he's a little specimen. He does like to look for himself. But these are all traits that you need to stay at the top. Look at Haaland during the week. This shouldn't be used as a stick to beat him with. This is part of his character. Like, I don't think it's a character assassination from Jimbo by any stretch of the imagination. I just think it's a matter of clicks. Like, Salah is clickbait. That's what he is.
Yeah.
I think Gavin wanted to say something because I want to add something as well.
Go well, the first question I seen in there was somebody asking, is it wrong to eat more than two Cadbury's cream eggs or a cup of tea? They can be quite sickening, I think. But look, go for it and let us know. Like, not on air, fucking back. We're not taking responsibility for it. David P says it's clickbait headlines mixed with our fans' need for conspiracy theories. The lads are winners for fuck's sake.
When you get a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt, it comes from the police.
And from your mother.
And your best friend.
And your family.
We want you to buckle up every trip, every time.
3 out of 4 people ejected from a vehicle in a crash will die.
If you won't do it for yourself,
do it for us. We like having you around.
Click it or ticket. A message from the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning.
They're going to get an edge to them. And Free World says, story created for justification to sell Salah. Now, I don't think that story was created. I think it was just written. And, you know, you can take whatever you want out of it. But, like...
could be truth in that. I think that might be an angle, but I don't see why you do that. I think you could do something like that in a world where COVID doesn't exist. I don't know if any of the clubs that these lads want to go to or can go to can afford them. So I don't see where this thing comes
in. But as Gav says, Shawnee, these stories are written or are reported on things that we can observe. So we've seen them as always. They're not created. There's a difference between creating a story and something that you're just basing off. And also, the article goes on to praise Salah in that same sentence. So it goes on to say that he's an absolute ultimate professional on the training pitch, in the ground, in the gym, an example to the youngsters. How many times have we seen youngsters cite Harvey Elliott? He talks about his hero being Salah. Like, if I want to become anything, I've got to be like Salah in the gym. You know, his dedication, his hours that he puts in. But obviously, these headline creators, these divisive people, I call them divisive people, they're doing it for their own attention as opposed to the goodness of Liverpool or Mane or Salah. So they're doing exactly the same as The Athletic are doing. Because look, I'm no apologist for Athletic. Athletic are a publication that are based on clicks. Right, they got to do that. This is what they're about. This is what they're about. So we know what they're about. That's their job. They're doing their job. The players are doing their jobs because they're absolute machines on the pitch, and they've shown that, proven that. But as we say, when things are not clicking, these same sad, divisive people that are neither working for any publication or playing wise or coaching wise, they're just in between fans that are bored, looking for controversy, something to talk about. It's really nothing. Battery says, with a £2 super chat, thank you very much. It says, Mane and Salah like Wacker and Wasim Grisnos. What they're referring to is the two great fast bowlers for Pakistan.
I know them,
who hated each other. When I say hated each other, exactly like Mane and Salah.
Waka Yunus and Wasim Akram.
Absolutely. Wow. Surnames and everything. Keith, you're a winner. But the point being, very good example, they just drove each other to another level.
Well, look at Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe are the most probably the most iconic duo in all of sport. And they hated each other. Yeah. They hated each other's guts.
For the exact same reason, Johnny. They all wanted to be the alpha.
Yeah, Kobe couldn't stand them because Shaq had this God-given talent that he didn't have to work hard at all for and was just an animal. And Kobe had to work every day of his life as hard as he could to be at the level that Shaq was. And he was envious of him, that he just had to show up and do it.
Yeah.
And then it came to it, in the end, they won so many championships. And he said, I'm going to go. And then when all was said and done, Kobe passed last year. Shaquille O'Neal turned around and said, yeah, we did. It was born out of fire. That's what made us win. We pushed each other on. It wasn't a negative thing. The media always spun it as a negative thing, but Phil Jackson worked his magic and kept them together in a way that, like what do you say? Iron sharpens iron. Like, you know what I mean? That's the way it is. That's the way it is with these two lads. They'll push each other, and they've pushed each other maybe to their limits. Now, I don't know how much they have in their legs, and to be honest with you, you are getting onto a Gav about this being a narrative to move one of them on. If I wouldn't be against it this summer, to be honest with you, and I'm not going to lie, I think that might be a little bit controversial, but
no, it's a good discussion.
I would not be against one of those lads moving out if it meant that we brought in the next gen. I just think you've got to be ruthless in football. If we weren't winning trophies and we weren't in the positions, these lads would be looking to get out. So I don't know. I think a move would suit all parties for either Mane or Salah at this stage. And I'm not turning around saying kick either of them out the door because they've been brilliant servants to the club, and they'll go down as legends for what they've achieved and what they put on the table. But maybe it's the right time to maybe think about moving them on. Forget about Ned Spend and Boyd to sell. You've got to be clever in these situations, and it's what Alex Ferguson done so well and brought him success year after year. So I don't know. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, I don't know if that will play out. I'm being honest with you. I think it's just something that came up today, and people in the chat are saying, why are we talking about this? It's just something that came up. We talk about it. But look, we leave it there. We're going to move on. I want to move on to our sponsor, who this week are Manscaped. Manscaped have a new thing out now, called Got Bush. And do you know what? They sent this to me, right? And of course, manscaped.com, go there, go on to manscaped.com, use LFCDT as your code. I had one of the lads on to me earlier asking me what the code was because their friend is buying one tomorrow. And you get 20% off, you get free shipping. Everyone that's ordered it, or anyone that's come back to us and said, love the stuff. Great idea. It's not a taboo anymore. It used to be, but their new tagline is Got Bush. And Keith, I'm going to come to you because I've noticed that you've shaved the head, you've shaved the face, you've shaved everything. So you don't have bush, but do you like this sort of thing where they just ask it a straight question? There's no himming and hawing. It's just, what's the crack? Do you like it?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. In this day and age, Gav, you know what I mean? We can't be messing about. You need to get straight to the point, you know? And I don't have bush. I'm not going to lie. Nothing all the way down. I'm like that swimmer from the 80s. Don't think would you.
My hair on an egg. Yeah, my hair on an egg.
I'm surprised Gavin asked for a link.
I will later.
No, you have to. You have to be... you know, get straight to it. Manscaped's a great product. We've all used it. Look, we wax lyrical about it. But the point of Manscaped, you know, it's for good purposes other than keeping your balls shaved and neat and tidy. You know what I mean? That their background is around sort of cancer research and all that sort of stuff. So be forward with it. Get straight to the point. No messing about.
I knew to come to you. I usually come to everyone, but I just thought I'd come to you because I just know you're mad into this. The lads like it, and use it. And you know, Sean, you love the packaging, the way it's done. Grizz, you know, just loves it, and Akif is mad into it as well. And but he's probably the biggest man for it. I think he's
biggest advocate.
You probably are the biggest advocate for it.
Ambassador.
So, Yeah, an ambassador. He should be an action ambassador. On billboards and all. Keith standing on a billboard.
Keith's the minister of our bush.
The minister for no bush.
You know, big sign saying got bush. I think if we can get on to, we might get on to Manscaped and ask them what the crack is.
If Kate Bush was around Keith, he'd just be just Kate. That's the name. Just be single. Like a Brazilian midfield. Like a Brazilian midfield. Like just one name. No messing.
Yeah,
no bush.
But listen, what was I going to say to you? Yeah, I just thought I'd come to Keith, and I just thought I'd ask Keith because he's the man for this. He's mad into it. Someone has pointed out to me that the Got Bush thing got covered by our banner. So there you go. It's up on the screen again, and it's a very simple question from Manscaped. Answer the question, and if the answer is yes, you need to go on to manscaped.com. LFCDT, get 20% off and sort yourself all the hair everywhere, up nostrils and everything. It all goes on. Oh, lads, Dinesh has a super chat in there. He says, with all our injuries, still to be near the top four shows with a fully strength team and a few new players, we are better than the rest of the Premier League teams and close to City next season. It kind of brings us on to the next topic we have, and it's around the centre half issue, because one, we've seen a couple of links, haven't we, this week to centre halves in the summer, and two, you know, we've seen a win there away at Leipzig during the week. You had Nat Phillips playing, you had Kabak playing, and you know, I think people's opinions are starting to slowly change on both of them players. And maybe not radically after one game, but just, you know, a little partnership maybe starting there and trust them till the end of the season and see where we get. And Grizz, I come to you first. I want to talk about these two, because there was a lot of rumour about Fabinho would be back. You know, will he put him back in there? Ultimately, he ends up in midfield, and I thought he was fucking outrageously good. But the centre-half situation, Grizz, is it a case of Phillips and Kabak, and if they're fit, play them?
Yeah, I think Klopp intimated as such, you know, in basically the things he was saying around the game before and after. Look, he said, look, you know, I know Fabinho is the best number six in the world. So when your manager says that, then you know he's not playing him at centre-back out of choice. It's out of necessity. He's got no choice but to play him at the back. Or had no choice. He also touched upon that, look, we haven't had much time to work with these partnerships. Kabak only joined in January, so let's get that right. And then, you know, before this round, Phillips hasn't been eligible for Champions League. So it was, and sort of fitness issues as well around the whole, you know, that area. So there was not much chance to work with them, sort of, give them continuity to play together. It was difficult. I think there's been a lot of, and look, I'm not gonna fucking piss on their parade. They've done very well.
Put your arrogant too.
I'm not gonna be a flip flop, Gav. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna just stick with my opinion and hope that I'm wrong. Pray that I'm wrong, and you know that'll be the end of me. I don't think either of them will be here at Liverpool next season. That's what I'm getting at, basically. But Phillips and Kabak, especially, I don't know which one to praise more. Maybe praise them equally. Do we have to always choose one to praise? Because I saw a lot of praise for Phillips this week. And yeah, fair play to Phillips. My God, he's the hero that we needed in this period. And I've said this before. What a character. I saw his interview with, I can't remember who, but he comes across as such a lovely, simple guy. And, you know, all the praises, he's worthy of it. And Kabak, look, as you guys know, I'm not his biggest fan, but I will 100% praise someone that's come in 20 years old into a team that's been decimated. No sort of partner that's regularly playing with him, different tactics, different way of playing. Playing in a Liverpool back four is fucking mad for the best of players. Never mind a 20-year-old coming from the Bundesliga, bottom of the Bundesliga. So look, fair play to both of them. They're doing a grand, magnificent job for us so far in the two games that they've played together. Is it two clean sheets, Keith, that they've had? One they wore, Shawnee, if you know.
Well, they played two games against Leipzig, wasn't it?
Is that right?
No, they had a clean sheet.
Henderson Sheffield. Played the first one.
Sheffield
was it Henderson?
Sheffield United and Leipzig, and that's all you can ask for of them. look, if anything, Phillips has done brilliant to raise his profile. That was the initial plan for him about a season and a half ago when we sent him out on loan and played him in preseason friendlies 2 years ago to raise his profile. Fucking hell, he's definitely raised his profile now. He's worth 10 million now, and I'd say.
And 10 Quebec, to 15 are the links, apparently.
There you go. And Quebec, look, Quebec is what it is. If he impresses us and he does magnificent, 18 million in this day and age for an emerging center back is nothing, is pennies. So that's what we're hoping for. And, you know, good luck to both of them, I say. They've done a tremendous job for Liverpool.
Shawnee, Grizz mentioned something there. Who do you praise more? Is it fair to just praise them both equally? Because, you know, they're coming into a situation there. They're both young. They're both inexperienced. One's coming from a different country, different league. Obviously, Phillips, of course, we know his story from the start of the season and how he came in and went out and he's back in again. Is it just natural to praise them both equally and go, you know what, the two of them are in there. They're doing their best. They're trying to impress and they're doing okay.
Yeah, look, they're on that mental pressure. Especially Phillips, the stage he came in, because when he came in, we were still around top of the league and winning the Champions League group, and he wasn't even registered in the Champions League squad. So that's how far out of pecking order he was. That's how far we've had to delve into the centre-back situation to play them. And to be honest with you, both myself and Keith said a couple of weeks ago that I think he should have started him against City. I don't think he's put a foot wrong since he's come in. I don't really care about opposition and game management. You play a centre-back, a centre-back. And he's been excellent. There was moments when he looked shaky against Newcastle, but he's excellent against West Ham at home. He's excellent against Sheffield United at home and away. He's very good against Brighton. He's probably our man of the match in Brighton away. That was nearly a 1-0. We all know what happened there. So he's not done an awful lot wrong, but I'll echo the sentiment to Grizz. I think if he's around the squad next year, then we haven't done our job in the summer, because although Phillips is a good centre-back, I don't think he's the type of centre-back that we necessarily need. I think he's playing now because we haven't got the bodies. I think he would suit someone like a Burnley, where he's just heading balls all day, because that's his bread and butter. It's something he does really well. But they've done well. And then you've Quebec coming in, who was 20 years of age, and he's shown all the properties of a 20-year-old centre-back. His decision-making's not always there. You can tell sometimes physically he might not be there, but he has intent to do well. You can see he's enthusiastic and he attacks the ball. And look, there's games where he's played on the left side of centre-back,
yeah,
which doesn't suit him either, which is a massive thing you have to think coming. And he's looked bad and he's looked good, but that's what you expect from a 20-year-old centre-back. That's what I'd expect from Joe Gomez. He was fit. He's still young centre-backs learning. That's right. So, that, like, 24 is probably what you'd consider a young centre-back still. 25, you'd probably say he's...
This message is sponsored by Amazon.
I want to get back to kissing the cheeks of my grandbabies, making Sunday dinner with a house full of family and lots of laughs.
COVID-19 has changed how we live and how we feel, but now there are vaccines. It's okay to have questions. Now get the facts. Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org so you can make an informed decision about COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Still young, still an awful lot to learn. A lot of game experience will help him out with his game. Quebec is 20, and he's played an awful lot of first-team football at Stuttgart and then at Schalke. And then he's come in and he's done okay at Liverpool. And hopefully both of them can stay fit now for the next, 9, 10, 11 games that there might be left in the season, depending on the Champions League. And they can have some sort of partnership. But I'd be surprised if they were about here in the summer, because I'd imagine that the club have plans to go to the next level in that area, because I think they massively dropped the ball not only in January last summer also.
Yeah.
Could it be a case of one or the other for next season, do you think, that they'd keep one of them on?
No, I don't.
I think a lot depends on Matip. Like, yes, that's just quickly, Dara C says, keep up the good work, lads. You never walk alone. Dara, thanks a million. And if people are in the chat, please hit the like button. Whether that's on your way in now or on your way out, just hit the like button at some stage if you can. Grizz, it's an interesting one, Keith. I'll stick with you, Keith. You're asking, you know, is there an argument that they could be in the squad or one of them? I think there is. I think there is, and I think a lot will depend on Matip. I think the decision that is made on Matip will ultimately make the decision, a knock-on effect decision, on whether it be Kabak or Phillips. I think Davies, just I don't know what's going on with him. There's no point discussing him. You know, he's in, he's trained, he doesn't look, I don't know if he's up to the standards, he's just not up to the fitness. I don't know what it is, but he hasn't appeared yet. But I think Keith, for argument's sake, if we get to the summer, right, I don't think there's an argument that they're going to sign a centre-back. I'm going to go into a couple of links in a second, right? But I'm with you on that, because I think if they make a decision that, look, Matip just can't be depended upon anymore, like, he's missed so much fucking football, what we're going to do is we're going to shift him and we're going to take a really, really good up-and-coming centre-back, or, you know, whatever it might be. And then they turn around and go, and you know what? Kabak or Phillips were making a decision on it. That's number four. I think there's an argument for that.
I think Moneyball Phillips, personally.
They could do, Sean, yeah. That's the one you're looking at and you're thinking 10 to 15 million bid comes in for Phillips now, which is the figures being linked to the likes of Burnley. You get him out the door, and that can pay for Kabak if they want to keep him in. But, you know, we're looking at a situation next season where, you know, Virgil van Dijk, touchwood, comes back, Virgil van Dijk. Joe Gomez, it's a lot of injury wear on his body as well, comes back to a good standard. And then we've Matip. We're being linked with another centre-back who will come on with, whose injury record isn't great as well. I just wonder, would it be a case of, you know, if Kabak doesn't impress, they move him on and keep in Phillips as the fourth or fifth choice centre-back? Or is it a case of need? Or, I know what you're saying, if they're at the club next year, we haven't done our job. But I just think, you know, they know the system. And touching on Davies, I think it's very hard for him to get used to what Klopp wants to do. We've seen better players than him take 6 months.
Free World says there, Klopp said Davies is a good player, but needs time.
Could be a Robbo, though. It could be a Robbo situation. It doesn't look like it, but you never know.
Emma Cabot says, a more experience, you know, he could be in there because of that. He threw him in. They had to throw someone in, and it could be that Davies just needs that time.
To be honest with you, I'd take a pinch of salt wherever Klopp does, because Klopp, in the Spurs home game, he put a whole piece in a program about Minamino and then loaned them out. In January.
Look, when Klopp talks about the example of Robbo, we were in a total different situation. This has been in a state, you know, we all know this has been an emergency like never before. This has been a situation where we have literally no centre backs available in some games, and he's still not even put him on the bench even. So it's slightly different from Robbo. Come on, let's not get too caught up in the sort of moment of in terms of Klopp, and it could be a Robbo. And I get that. I agree.
Easy to say with hindsight, Chris, because if you remember back to Robbo, people were like, oh, this fella doesn't have it. And Fabinho, people were linking Fabinho would have moved to PSG before he broke into the team when he came in as well. You know,
I don't want to start searching my tweets, Chris. Chris, I'm going to start looking for my tweets now, Keith, right? And
but nobody
the real
mentioned
guys,
your fucking tweets. What Keith said was he never said anything about you. He said what, and he's right. At the time, Robertson plays at home to Crystal Palace, and he's probably man of the match. I think it's Palace, and he's not seen for weeks. And people are going, "What's going on?" He needed time.
But what I've just countered that with is saying the real football people never said that. They understood the situation of the time. At the time, he was at least seen 2-3 times. Right, the reports emanating from. Anyway, we won't talk about reports on the training ground. And I've told you in person as well, I simply don't think it was a Klopp purchase. I simply totally agree with Shawnee that it's a money ball purchase and he will be gone for 5-6 million in the summer. But good luck to him. Look, I'm with Sean today, I'm afraid. We haven't done our job if either of them are, in my opinion, are at the club as one of us. Definitely if they're in sort of starting centre-backs.
But you're saying that, and I get where you're coming from, and the Davies thing probably is a money ball thing, like Shawnee said, and they might do the same with Phillips. They may do. But, right, like, Emma Cavanagh says Klopp spoke at length about Davies. It's the same when Robert came in, said he was a really good player, but will need time when will play when he plays. It took me ages to get out. Philippe Hunt says sell Phillips for 15 million. We have Gomez and Virgil at centre back with Kabak, Matip, and a newly signed centre back. Worst comes to worst, we have Williams. Now, I'm not going I'm not going along with that. But Grizz, I'll just come back to you quickly before we move on, right? And, But what I was going to say to you was, I know where you're coming from. They haven't done their job. If we turn around at the end, at the summer and go Van Dijk, Gomez, Matip, and Kabak or Phillips, right? I get that. But if it was Gomez, Van Dijk, a new centre half, no Matip and Kabak, for argument's sake, is that an argument they've done their job? Because they've given 6 months to Kabak and he might impress, and then you go, yeah, okay, that's fine. I'll go with them for
it. It'll depend who the third, who the signing is.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about earlier, like, someone like, if you could get Phillips out and nick someone like Fabian Schär from Newcastle, who's experienced enough to come in there if needed. Like, Phillips is a great lad to throw in when you're playing against Burnley away. But to be honest with you, I'd imagine if you ask Klopp on the sly, hey, you have Kabak and Phillips to pick from next year, many games are they going to play? I'm going to hedge my bets and say, if not many, if any. So I'd imagine that they will try to move them on and strengthen significantly in that position. Whereas then you're looking at Gomez and Matip as third and fourth choice. And if they have anything to say with that, you can turn around and say, well,
guys, literally referring back to that Athletic piece. Referring back to that reference, that Athletic piece again, they clearly talked about sort of so many centre backs were explored in terms of, you know, looked at seriously. They even talked about sort of a Premier League centre back being approached in this article in January.
Oh, great.
I'm talking about before Kabak and Phillips, before Kabak and Davies.
Yes.
So it was clear that they were bottom of the pile or list or whatever. You know, we didn't want to spend any money. We weren't in a position to spend any money in January, which is fair enough. A lot of people are asking or wondering, because they didn't name the centre-back. That centre-back was actually Diop from West Ham. And they quoted us 25 million plus, and that's why we didn't go back for him. So, look, if you ask me, I'd take Diop all day long as a fourth-choice centre-back. You know, that's the kind of level of recruitment I'm looking for. So someone who's had experience and has proved himself in the Premiership, but is happy and willing or would be willing to be a fourth choice. That will show me that we've got strength in depth then. If you're going to ask me, Gav, if you're going to ask me if Phillips and Kabak are in and around the fourth choice centre or in our centre back options,
one of them is not two. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm
kind of with you on that. I think the actual signing that, I think the big thing this summer is what centre half they sign and what decision they make on Matip. And then you will see what sort of strength and depth they have. Keith,
I was going to say something.
Keith was.
And I was just going to say the Grizz there I can't even remember what I was going to say to Grizz there. That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Move on. Cool. It was a good point as well. I remember it was a great point.
Just WhatsApp me.
I can't remember.
Barry Devon, Gav is off the drink like our Lord Jesus Christ was for 40 days and nights. I don't know. I think it's 6 weeks now. I'm not even counting. Drink is terrible for you. Don't deal with kids. But the links were linked with, you know, like we've seen Konate, Koulibaly. I still harbour hopes of Botman and stuff like that. And Shani, I'll come to you first. There are a couple of names there, and they're different. Like, you know, Koulibaly has been there at Napoli for years, 29 now, I think. You've got Konate, whose injury record wouldn't be amazing. You know, there's going to be links, Shani, but what sort of, like, it interested me there when somebody says, you know, I think it was yourself, Shani, you said, well, if Gomez doesn't like being third choice, what do you want to do? You have to show some ruthlessness or whatever. What way did he go about this, Shani, in your opinion? Do they go with someone, go Van Dijk partner? Or do they go with someone third choice? But
in my opinion, looking to break. You've got to be looking to sign a forced 11 centre-back. You've got to be looking for someone to go straight in there. There's no point looking to go for third or fourth choice. You need someone to go in there and say, look, Gomez and Matip, you're going to have to push this fella out. We've heavily invested in him. No matter what the price is, I always talk about, I don't give a fuck about what the price is. Just get the right player. Konate, his alarm bells with his injury record is no doubt in his ability. Tapsoba, seeing a bit of him, looks very good, very raw. The two I'd be looking at is Ezri Konsa and Botman. That's the two, either one of those I'd love. I think Konsa has been, I think he's the best centre-half that England have. I think he should be starting for them in the Euros. I think that's how good he is. He's unbelievable. He reminds me a little bit of Virgil when he was at Southampton. I see that in him.
Wow.
I think he's really, really good. Excellent on the ball. Brilliant early, quick as fuck. Does the love the dirty defending. I seen he made an unbelievable block there the other night in the game. He does the dirty stuff as well as the stuff that looks good as well. And then you have Botman, who we were kind of teased with in January, and ever since then I've kind of really liked the idea of having him in there, because he looks like another one who is a huge talent, but he's left-sided more so.
Konsa
is the one for me. We spoke on the transfer show about Konsa. I think, having watched him a little bit more, I think it would be a gamble, because he looks like one who's still learning on the trade. But Konsa plays like a 30-year-old centre-back, but he's still so young. He plays the game with his head. And he's one I definitely love to see beside Virgil. Two animals. And one that's not really been talked about. One I'd really like to see.
Phil says that he feels Edmund Tapsoba is Liverpool's main target for centre-back. Grizz, I'm going to read you some names, right? Varane, 1 year left on his deal. Shores or Ajax, signs a new deal, doesn't he? But he might have a buyout. Botman, Tapsoba, Konsa and Koundé. Is there any more else you can throw in there? Because, like, to me, all of them are not coming in to be third choice. If they're making a move to Liverpool, they want to play.
Yeah, but this is where, you know, we've got to be firm, and we've got some serious decisions as you guys have touched in terms of centre back area, because it's fucking vital. We will not want to be stung like we have been this year, crippled. So I agree. We go for a centre back that is raw and not raw. Sorry, I beg your pardon. The opposite of raw, like just pure ready. Of all those names that you've mentioned, we're going to get sort of links with so many centre backs over the coming months.
Because in there as well, yeah.
I was just going to say. You know, I haven't heard much on any of those names apart from the usual links in on social media. So, you know, we are going to get linked with them and many more. But what we do know is Kalete Kar was literally ready to be bought, had agreed everything, just a matter of time and logistics.
Mohamed Farouk agrees. He says, I'm telling you guys, Kalete Kar will be high on that list.
Yeah, so look, if you ask me personally, I don't know if you ask me the same question as Sean, like, who would you go for two? If you ask me to pick out two who I think the club will do or would like to do, or what kind of player, I think one they would like to do is a Kalete Kar, a younger centre-back who's sort of coming into his prime, a la Konsa and the other links, a Botman, a Schürrle, who's fallen out of favour at Ajax recently. And I think they'd like to ideally do a very experienced, who's been through it all, seen it all. And that's a name that I've heard myself personally that we're very much looking into now is Koulibaly. And obviously it splits the fan base in terms of his age. He's on the downward trajectory, some will tell you. But I disagree with all of that. I think he'd be walking into next to Virgil van Dijk, and I think they'd be absolutely brilliant together. The news is, from what I know, is that, you know, his agent has been throwing him at us and around Europe for about a year and a half now.
That's not a good sign, though, is it?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, Koulibaly. But the situation now is obviously sort of City were in for him, and they were asking for 70 million, 60 million. You know, it's now, from what I know, is that the deal is more closer to 35 million, and it's got our ears pricked when we heard that, because, you know, we love a bargain, let's be honest. And I think 35 million for Koulibaly, even if we get 2-3 years of him, look, I don't give a shit about the money side. I don't, because I'm a fan of Liverpool. I support Liverpool. I want us to have the best chance of winning games of football, right? So I'm not going to get into this accounting and his side, sort of his profile and his age and etc. We've done that with Thiago, and we said, look, and 75% of the fan base, if not more, said there's no chance we go for Thiago because he's too old. He doesn't fit the profile. I'm about to start the same train with Koulibaly. There is 100% a chance we go for Koulibaly. We won't disregard Koulibaly because of his age, especially now that the price and the wages have been slashed. And then I'd go with someone like Kaleta Kahu. How old is he, guys? He's
24.
24. Yeah. So 24, 25, coming to the prime of his career. If you gave me them two for a combined 60 million, you know, 25 for Kaleta Kahu and 35 for Koulibaly, 60 million, that for me, that's very, very good deal.
Koulibaly. Matip is a better player than Koulibaly.
Well, Matip, we know that. But Matip's not... Yeah,
I think that's
Matip could be the best four choice centre back in the world if you only have to play him.
I'm not going down that route, Shawnee. Okay.
Has it been a while since you flipped that thermostat from heat to cool? Turn to the experts at Griffith Energy Services before you do for an $88 AC start and check to make sure your AC is in tip-top shape. Griffith specializes in Carrier, but services all brands. Visit GriffithEnergyServices.com today. Your local Carrier expert. That's GriffithEnergyServices.com. License number MDHVACR01-2278.
Griffith Energy Services. Doggone dependable.
I'm going to go mad.
I get what you're saying.
Because when we need him, he's not going to be there.
But Koulibaly's too many red flags for me. He was touted as the highest rated centre back in the world for how long, and he never got out on that plea. Nobody would ever pay the money for him. And anytime I watched him, fucking Salah had him on toast. He roasted him. And he's left sided.
And he needs to be playing all the time, I think, anything close. He doesn't come across as the type of centre back that can come in and out and perform at a high level for me.
I love pricks like this in the chat. Look, you heard it first.
What are you calling him a prick for?
Because he's been a prick. If he's a prick, I'm going to call him out. But anyway.
He just said, you heard it here first. He won't be there. That's his opinion.
Exactly.
You made a good point there, Kilmar as well made a great point there. African Cup of Nations next January, so I wouldn't be stocking up on them, lads, to be honest with you, because when it comes to that side of Christmas...
Here's John. John's Chris's best mate now. Watch this.
Very sensible fella in the chat. Look, John McMahon. When a player as good as Thiago and Koulibaly, I agree with Grizz, the age shouldn't be an issue. Even if we get 3 years, we'll have 3 years of world-class talent. And look, even if it's not world-class, as Shawnee says, he's not sure about Koulibaly's level. It's 3 years of, because it's reliable. We need reliable and experience combined. And if you get that for 30 million in this day and age, I'd personally do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's not by me.
Keith is back. He says, what the fuck, this podcast? Don't rate a player based on their current team. We play a different system to most. The podcast is just talking.
I don't use a prick, innit?
Just stop it.
I've seen his comments throughout. He's being a prick, but I like calling them out. It's fun.
In fairness,
listening to it.
Players can be not system players, but just because Koulibaly was good at Napoli in a totally different system doesn't mean he can come in and do it at Liverpool either. You know, Koulibaly, Shawnee was right there.
We should be looking to the future, next gen.
I agree with that.
I think
you
can get a better option for an older centre-back for cheaper than what Koulibaly will be. That'll be more reliable and won't be left-sided.
Yeah, I think the price thing is probably the biggest thing with Koulibaly. Like Grizz and Shawnee and Keats have said there, 60, 70 million being quoted. There's a guy in there, he's a Man City fan. He watches quite
a bit.
Charlie, he says, lads, it's like us last season. We were linked to everyone under the sun. And of course, this is what's going to happen to Liverpool. I would probably go down the route. I'm not saying Koulibaly's a bad player. He's not. He's very, very good. But look, we're all agreeing with Shawnee tonight. Shawnee should just do this on his own. But I would go with someone around 23, 24 years of age that has a massive potential. And I'd put my money in that because.
But that's one. You'd do two like that?
No, we're only doing one, Chris. We're not doing two.
Oh, we're doing two.
No, I don't think so.
Think so?
Oh, we're doing two, 100%. We're not keeping Kabak.
So if you do two centre backs, we're gonna do a forward. There's nothing shorter. We're gonna do a forward player.
Yep. and a midfielder.
We're going to need two midfielders.
I think we're going to do one though.
See, but then like this has been my issue. If we go like, then again, we will be crippling ourselves in the midfield area because you bet your bollocks, Alex is going to go and Genie's going to go.
Yeah. So Genie could be log jammed there now because where's he going?
He's gone. I think he's gone.
I think they need to move him on. I've said it before.
Yeah. There you go. I said it about Mo and Mane earlier on. I think let's be rootless this summer. Let's be fucking rootless this summer.
If you're rootless, you're not moving Genie Wijnaldum on. No way.
Yes, you are.
Well, if you're rootless, you're putting James Milner out because it's gone.
But hold on,
we're talking rootless. You put Naby Keita out because he can't turn up play football. All right, you're putting Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain out because even though he's fit, he's not getting a game. So there's three, and then you're going to put Wijnaldum out as well.
Being rootless and just being stupid, Gav.
Who are you being stupid over? The only one you would make an
argument. Because if you want to get Keita out, you're going to have to cut your losses on him because nobody's going to pay the money that we want rootless. For him. So you literally may as well give him. No, that's stupid. That's money.
How is it? Because
money.
Okay, that's money. So what are you going to do? Sit him for another year and watch him do what
he's doing? Shawnee, we're going to have to lose money this year in terms of transfer
fees. That's the biggest thing this summer is that you're going to have to.
And you don't do that with Naby Keita. You do that with Ox. The thing is, Gav, what I really mean by rootless is for the money Wijnaldum wants, I'm telling you now, these sports scientists have all of these players that trajectories for the next couple of years. Genie's wheels will come off next year if he doesn't leave Liverpool.
Agree.
Unless he becomes a four-choice midfielder and he's used sparingly, he'll be no use to us. He's on the edge of breaking down. So that's where you have to be rootless.
But in the same instance, Shawnee, the way to be rootless is to turn around and go, you and you don't turn up enough. You're gone. Right, and I'm going to bring in two players, okay, and I keep them with Wijnaldum because then I can actually rotate because the two I'm going to bring in are going to be there. And that's the big thing about this. Money or not, right? Naby Keita, right? I want him to succeed as much as anybody else, but the simple fact of the matter is Naby Keita isn't there.
You can't be digging the owners out for not spending money and then hemorrhaging money by just fucking kicking players out the door.
You'll hemorrhage more money if you have midfielders there that do not show up for 70% or 60% of the season and you're not making a Champions League spot. You're going to hemorrhage more money than selling these players. Like, he's not going for nothing.
I wouldn't judge any player off this season, to be honest with you, because it's just been a dumpster fire. It's been an absolute dumpster fire. I think to nail any player this season. I want them all to stay and protect their legacy because if Mané or Salah was to go this year, you'd think, oh, for fuck's sake.
Not the big boys.
Hate that. You'd like to say that they all turned around and had another year to go on it and then riding off into the sunset, so to speak. I get it with Naby, Gav. I understand people's frustration with him. I'm a great player, but not available enough. But they're not going to take the hit on him. Because I tell you what, probably Inter Milan or AC Milan are probably the only two clubs who would pay the money for him. He's not going to go back to Germany. Ox will have suitors. Look, I think clubs will look at like what's going on with Lingard there at West Ham, thinking, you know what, maybe we can get a tune out of Oxlade-Chamberlain. Danny Ings. Like, just because Lingard wasn't good enough for United, it doesn't mean he's not a good player. Just because Ox isn't cutting it with us at the moment, he needs a change of scenery. So you get him out.
There's a few of them that need a change of scenery, but that's not our problem, Shawnee. We need to be thinking about us.
I get that. I think Genie Wijnaldum will be in the Bobby Firmino fucking school of running a treacle next year and log that if he signs a contract.
Yeah, but told me you can't judge anybody on this season, and now you're bringing Firmino.
That's not judging. This is just physical. This has got to do with physical.
We wouldn't be at the table.
He's played more football than anyone else in the squad over the three years.
It's not sustainable, the amount of football he's playing. But this is my whole point. I think there's more value in paying Genie Wijnaldum, right, and going and getting rid of the two midfielders and bringing in two more. And if you take a loss, so be it. Because then you can say, I have six midfielders or seven midfielders and they're all reliable, right? They're all reliable. All things being equal, they're all reliable. So Gino Wijnaldum doesn't have to play every minute, right? Gino Wijnaldum can play.
I think he's gone. He probably is.
He probably is. But there's still a lot of talk around talks with contracts.
I think we've played his contract.
Barca are in the blade more than it's
not even that. I think, Keith. I genuinely think we've played a blinder with Gini's contract.
I agree.
I genuinely think that. I think we've let Alaba's people know that we've got a player here, Gini Wijnaldum, who's asking for X amount. We're ready to give your man X amount. Free signing, straight swap. Now, I know people are going to start saying, oh, Gini, what this one? It's up to Gini now, because we're not going to budge from our offer now. I think, and this is the first sign of what I want to see in terms of ruthlessness. Now, I know Gini's been an absolute fucking king for us this season, early parts, but we have seen bits where his legs are beginning to fall off now, and he's played an awful lot of football in these 3-4 years for this Liverpool, in this Klopp team, in this midfield, fucking gegenpressing for 4 years. Can you imagine that? He's hardly got much left, in my opinion. I think we played a blinder. We're ready to step in. If he wants to go, fair enough. If he wants to sign on a new deal with the wages that we're willing to offer him, we're happy to keep him. I ideally would like to move him on because the age of the squad, we keep coming back to it.
Oh, that's bullshit. You're going on about Thiago a minute ago, Koulibaly, who doesn't matter about what age he is because you get quality out of him. And now you're judging fucking Wijnaldum on a season that he's had to play every single minute and you're saying he can't keep it up. The reason Gini Wijnaldum is running into the ground is because there's other pricks in this squad that don't show up and they're not there and they're not giving him the chance. So why is he sacrificing these two others because they might make money off them? It's bullshit.
Because he wants 200 grand a week.
No, I agree, Gav.
Why would we give him
200 grand a week?
He doesn't want 200 fucking grand a week. He doesn't
want Spurgeon and Mo money.
He doesn't want 200 grand a week. He wants parity with the big boys. The talk was he wanted double his wages, which is 140 grand a week. So now it's 200.
I'm telling you tier one here. He wants parity with the big boys, whatever the parity is. He
doesn't deserve it.
We wouldn't even give him double his wages.
He doesn't deserve it.
It's the legs is going to go on him. He's going to be bobbied next season.
What would you... A 200 grand a week midfielder is fucking Kevin De Bruyne.
Thank you.
And Bruno Fernandes. We have it on authority that Gini Wijnaldum, currently on £70,000 a week, is looking for £200,000 a week.
It's parity.
Okay, so what parity usually means the fucking same, Grizz. So you tell me what Mo Salah is earning a week.
I don't know. I can't tell you. I could
200. So you're telling me now that Gini Wijnaldum is looking for 200. £200,000 a week.
Around that figure.
It's either parity or it's fucking not. Which one is it?
How much would you give him?
Well, yeah. What do you think?
I think anywhere between 100 and 120 grand a week is absolutely fine.
And he's not going to accept that. That's fine.
So what do you want to do with him, Gav? I'm not having to say, we're getting rid of him because he wants 200 grand a week. No fucking way is he asked for 200 grand a week.
It's not that, Gav, but can you get a better option in there for 70, 80 grand a week? Like I keep mentioning Hossam Ewar. You bring in Hossam Ewar on 70 grand a week.
Can you ask Gav what's his opinion? You take Hossam Ewar.
Right?
Yeah.
Let Wijnaldum go and you take Hossam Ewar and you run Hossam Ewar into the fucking ground for Liverpool Football Club. Yeah. Well, the other two are there because we don't want to lose much money on them lads. And you come back to me in a year and you tell me what the decision was. Was it right? There's more players in that squad that shouldn't be there before Gini Wijnaldum should leave.
And if Gabby, he wants a 3-year deal on 120 grand a week, he's not going to last another season. This isn't just about next season.
But you're basing this on
being a 3-year contract. So he's going to sign it for a year, and then the year after that, and then the year after that, he's going to be one of the highest earners at the club.
Shawnee, you're basing that on what you've seen this season and the players that haven't been available to allow Gini Wijnaldum to have a rest.
I'm basing them on him being human. Yeah. You can't go fine. Like that forever. His whole game revolves around durability.
So Jordan Henderson, should we get rid of Jordan Henderson?
Absolutely not.
Why?
What a stupid argument.
He's playing the same amount of football as Gini Wijnaldum over the last couple of years. And he's the same age as Gini Wijnaldum.
If we offer Jordan Henderson a year extension on his contract for 100 grand a week at the end of it, he'd fucking take it. That's the difference.
Tomorrow.
Okay. That's the difference.
So overall, the outcome of this discussion is that Gini Wijnaldum is looking for 200 grand a week and we don't want to give it to him.
No.
Okay?
Listen, and, we'll change based, 200.
And without judging, we'll without judging
200
players,
grand a week.
Sorry,
we'll
I'm not finished. Without judging a players on this season, we're going to judge him on this season because he's been ran into the fucking ground. That's what we're doing.
He's going to be playing for his next season.
You don't feel if you actually sorted the actual problems in midfield that Gini Wijnaldum wouldn't be able to be part of this squad for 2 years in a rotated midfield because people are available.
Bobby Firmino's on 180 grand a week. Is he moving around like 180 grand a week forward at the moment?
Why do you think?
No, because he's bollocks. That's why. Yeah.
What do you think he needs, Shani?
Well, he needs a rest.
And how do you get that?
But he needs to be moved on.
How do you get the rest, Shani?
You have Jota there. He got injured.
Yeah. So it's basically the people around him. So he hasn't had any chance to have
Gini Wijnaldum is looking for too much money to stay. That's what I think. And what I reckon is the experts at the club who've weighed up these thoughts would look at a Bissouma or look
exactly
at an Elwar.
That's how they weigh up, Shani.
Who they could buy and then move on in 3 years for money. Except for toying Gini Wijnaldum down to a contract for 3 years at 120 grand a week when they probably well know that his legs are going to be fucking gone after next year, Gav.
So
he's 30.
I 100% get that. But what I'm saying to you is, I can't understand how anyone could tell me that you would move on Gini Wijnaldum. Right. And now, don't get me wrong. If he's looking
hold on.
What do you mean you've got this? What's this fucking? This isn't the
WWE. Go on, carry on. I want you to finish.
What I'm saying is, if I look at this squad, all right, and we're all saying we don't judge them on this season, right, for the vast majority. And in Gini Wijnaldum's case, it's because he's been ran into the fucking ground because people around him haven't been there or being able to lighten his load. Okay. Now we've said we don't want to judge them. Okay. So I think now if it's 200 grand a week, which I'm not a fucking chance, he's looking for 200 grand a week, right? But if it's 120 grand and we feel that's his value, absolutely fine. If he's looking for 150, 160, I don't think that's worth it, right? That's a money issue, right? That's a money issue, and you say he's 29, whatever it might be. But to turn around in a footballing sense, in my opinion, and turn around and say you would sacrifice Gini Wijnaldum, right?
No one's saying that.
No, yes, hold on. You would sacrifice Gini Wijnaldum, right? If you could get that deal on the table, right? You would still sacrifice Gini Wijnaldum, and there's other fellas in that squad that aren't fucking playing every week. And are the root cause of why the likes of Wijnaldum, Fabinho, Henderson, they're all picking up fucking injuries because they get no fucking break.
How much would you give him? I told you what I'd give him. And he won't sign for that.
That's absolutely fine.
All this week on NBC4, new products to new technology. Susan Hogan is showing you how local restaurants are changing the way we dine in and take out in this new world. Tonight at 6.
A new twist on outdoor eating.
A lot of it is creating flexibility.
How one local restaurant is making their outdoor space mobile, giving you plenty of sunshine and social distance for a stress-free meal.
It's all part of restaurant revitalization. Tonight at 6 on NBC4. Working for you.
But the argument, hold on, you just haven't made, first of all,
it was 200 grand.
The argument seems to be forward not. Is, he's still a contract, Gav.
Yeah,
we have no power over
that's
him.
Fine.
You know that emoji? Can I do that emoji?
But what I'm saying is, don't turn in this into a footballing argument, because the footballing argument just does not stack up when you look at Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain overall.
Not having your hands. And by the way,
Naby Keita has 2 years left on his deal as well. So Gavin Doyle, we're going to run him for another year and then decide that he's not worth it. Because that's what they will do. Because they make money on him in the end. They see money.
You're talking about football decisions. They don't make football decisions. They make money decisions. They look over long term. Gini Wijnaldum's situation is out of our control. He won't sign for what we value him at. He's more than well entitled to go somewhere and get a fucking
deal of his career.
Not here. Look, he could go tomorrow and nobody would have any quarrels with it. Gav, I get what you're saying. It's not in your control. We're not turning around to Gini and say, do you know what? We're getting rid of you.
My mate Keith Mew has made a very good point.
Your mate Keith Mew.
Yeah. He's my best sorry. Mate again.
Sorry, William sorry. You can read that in 1 second. I just have to read out two more before yeah, I miss them, right?
Make sure you promo, come back to me.
I will. Promo says, to be ruthless, in my opinion, we need to let Genie go. Sell Ox for Mino, who was on too much to be on rotation. Shaqiri, Origi, and not sign Tsimikas. Bring players in like Neto, etc. And Ramiz Khalil says, we're in this situation because of the risk we've taken over the last five windows. We need correct. Two midfielders, an attacking threat like our Abasuma style centre midfielder, plus a number nine, two centre backs, and a fullback. It won't happen, though, for him in this summer. Sorry, your best mate Keith was making a point.
My best mate, where has he gone? Where have you taken his thing? He's taken his thing.
There's so many. I'll find it. Make it up.
Basically, you got it? There you go. Yeah, Keith's got it. Keith's got his namesake. It's actually fucking Keith. This is you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You trying to fucking start a fight with me in the chat? But look, he makes a very good point now. He says, Genie hits 31 in November. He's looking for a 3-year contract. He's actually looking for a 4-year contract. He's looking for a 4-year contract at around... Right. Let's just say no one knows the actual figure, but what I heard was parity with the big boys. Now, parity means around or no, same.
Parity is the okay. same.
Okay. Same as the big boys. So let's assume, Gav, is it fair to assume, in your opinion, that the big boys are on around 200 grand?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if he's asking that on a 4-year contract, you are FSG, you work alongside Klopp and the analytics side of things, and you assess the situation that, no, the best contract we can give him is 120 grand at 3 years.
If we could get him on that deal, I would give it to him, yes.
Right, but so he's not accepted that since September, October time.
That's
he
fine. Said, I have no issue
okay,
with that.
Okay, so therefore, that's what I said. What I meant by we've got him where we want him now is because the reality of it all has hit him now, and he's not getting that demand anywhere else, right? Mm-hmm. So now he's got a decision to make. We've made our decision. If he stays, no problem. But ideally, we want him to go because we're not even budging. We haven't even given him another offer. So we're not budging. So in effect, we're saying, take it or fuck off. Not fuck off, because that's totally.
Well, if ideally you want him to go, you don't make him an offer because then
no,
he goes.
You got him. No, that doesn't how it
nobody
works.
Wants him to go.
Nobody wants him to go. Now I totally
to keep him.
Thank you, Keith. Now, Gav, whatever you said about in terms of he's the last person you fucking tried to get rid of, I agree, because he's been the most reliable, the most durable. He's been there for us, but we have to when a situation like this occurs, a contract situation, you have to think of the money side, as you're saying. No, don't give me none of the money side. You have to think of the money side, and in conjunction with the playing side. So the age, how much he's got, how much petrol he's got left in his fucking engine, everything has to be evaluated.
Yep.
What I'm saying is, I'm very happy, not very happy. I'm very okay if he left and we brought in Alaba or Hossam or that's all I'm saying. And it makes perfect sense for us.
Listen, if that happens, fine. That's what the club want to do. That's absolutely fine. My argument, and it always will be, is that under no circumstances can any football argument be made for keeping Keita or Oxlade-Chamberlain at this stage over Gini Wijnaldum. It just can't.
Correct.
Be.
It just correct.
Can't we all agree on be. That.
We all agree on that. Yeah, we never
said that. We all agree
on that. And this is the thing. Like, 120 grand, right? If he wants it and he takes it, that's fine. But people would say, oh, well, no, get rid of him. He needs to go. He's 29. He's 20. And I'm kind of going, I don't give a fuck if he's 29. These fellas beside him are much younger than him, have played less football, and they just aren't there. And I think we're looking at Gini Wijnaldum in a side where he's constantly playing. We need to get back to a way of six or seven midfielders that are actually there and that actually rotate, where they're not playing 60 games a season. They're averaging between 35 and 40 each per season. It's fresh, and you get to the back end of competitions and you're not hanging on and playing second strings against away at Everton because you have a Champions League semi-final or final the following week. You can just rotate, and that's what I'm looking for. And reliability is fucking huge, and Gini Wijnaldum has that over at least two of them when it comes to the summer.
Gav, I personally think he will stay. He will sign a new deal. There you go. Yeah, so you become.
Look, me and Shani have not knocked heads about this. And I get where Shani's coming from with regards to how much he's run, how much he has left, the sports analyst, the scientists. I get all that. But I think that you need a sample size where you can say Gini Wijnaldum is part of a six-man midfield crew.
Absolutely.
That are move around. And don't get me wrong, if we sit here in a year's time and you say to me, Gav, we had Henderson, Fabinho, Wijnaldum,
We're not like that. I'd love 15 of the best games from Genie Wijnaldum next year. That's what I'd love.
But that's what I'm saying. If it got to next year and we looked and went, do you know what? There was six fully fit and he only fucking started 30 games this season and his legs are gone. You go, yeah, hands up, grand. But I still think there's less of a risk on him than there is on one or two in that midfield going into next season. And it's only compounded when you look at the centre-half situation. That's all I'm saying. We're meant to be talking about Wolves at some stage as well. Ramiz says, what's your ideal window? His is Haaland, Auer, Basuma, Alaba in. Wow. Let me out. Genie, Milner.
Jesus. That's some football manager save.
Origi, Shaqiri, Ox, Matip, Wilson, Adrian, Gruwich. That's a lot of players.
Ramiz is mad because he is. He's not even mentioned the centre back.
Dinesh says
we don't want to become Arsenal, give players 200 grand a week when you cannot shell them because of their wages.
Exactly.
But it's not 200 grand.
Don't start him, Shawnee. We've got to move on.
Listen, quickly before we go, Wolves tomorrow night. Grizz, I know you've done a preview on Thursday with Finners and Avi. I know Chris Brack done something on Friday night with regards and had a quick look at it. But just quickly, I want you to name me a team and I want you to give me a prediction if possible. So, Shawnee, I'll go to you first.
Alisson, Tsimikas, Kabak, Phillips, Trent.
Tsimikas? Okay.
Yeah.
Let him finish.
Fabinho, Thiago, Cordis, Jota, Mane, Salah.
Okay.
Fabinho needs minutes. Robertson needs a rest. Not getting top four. Go for it. He threw the flag. Paint it how you like. Forget about Leipzig during the week. He threw the flag in last Sunday against Fulham. As simple as that. So if he's going to fucking, if he even thinks about playing a full strength team tomorrow night, I'll hit the roof because it just makes no fucking sense. You've got to be consistent with your, we're not getting top four. It's not happening. It's as simple as that. And I'm not being Debbie Downer. There's too many teams ahead of us and I don't think we'll win the rest of the games for the rest of the season, which I think we need to do. Robertson needs a rest. We should have looking at trying to win this Champions League, no matter who we get. And we'll need our best 11 fit for them games. Give Tsimikas a run. Otherwise, what was the fucking point? Because it was absolutely zero. He's played way too much football. Genie doesn't need to play tomorrow night. And Robertson doesn't need to play tomorrow night. And I know they have a big rest. Give them an extra fucking rest. Because they need it. The lads have played. Exactly.
Okay, Keith, team and prediction.
Alisson, Trent, the two centre backs. I agree with what Shawnee's saying there about Tsimikas going in. Fabinho, Thiago. I'd go Jones as well, but I've a feeling he'll go with Genie and then the three that Shawnee said up front. It's the last game before the international break, isn't it? And I think he will go relatively strong, even though Tsimikas hasn't been a success by any means. He's been unlucky with injury and COVID. He looked okay when he played early on, and he seems to be throwing him into games as a substitute, so he must be sort of in his thinking. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did throw him in there tomorrow night. So yeah, I think Tsimikas is maybe the only shock in the team.
A prediction?
2-0. Okay. Reds.
Grizz?
Oh, I'm just seeing how negative Keith said from 4-0 to 2-0.
4-0, Grizz. 4-0. We go 4. Yeah, 4-0.
I don't think he makes any changes. I think tomorrow's the last hurrah in terms of I think the way the results have gone over the weekend.
It was the same last weekend.
He's going to get a bonus, Shawnee, I guarantee you. He's going to go for it. One last hurrah. If we drop any points, then he's going to fuck the rest of the season off. I think he's going to make no changes. I wouldn't have Jones anywhere near the team for a few weeks. I think let the big boys handle it now from now. I know he's done brilliant, but Fabinho, I think you just mixed the midfield up at max. Maybe a Keita instead of Genie.
Oh, sorry, Keita, yeah.
Maybe a Keita instead of Genie. Surprise, surprise, yeah. Racial undertones there.
He is.
Yeah, he's forgot about
racial.
I think he goes for one big hurrah. I think he tries his fully best. And if we pull out a win, we go 5 points with 9 games to go. If we win seven, I'm being honest with you. If we win 7 of those games, we get top 4. Hurrah,
but if
hurrah.
Me auntie growls Wales, she'd be a boy.
Well, you say that, but you know, you say that, but you never know what he's doing.
What prediction?
We lose. No, I'm joking. No. We win 2-0.
2-2.
We win 2-0 tomorrow.
Okay. We'll ask the shop window tomorrow.
Allison,
you heard it first.
Allison, Trent, Phillips, Kabak, Robertson, Fabinho, Thiago. No, Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Keita, Mane, Jota, Salah. I think the Fulham one was fucking mad. I think he was giving up and he was looking towards Leipzig as well. I think with Leipzig out of the way and a break coming up, I think I agree with Grizz. I think this is one where he goes, win, great, lose, oh, fucking her off, forget the last 8, or the last 9 or whatever it might be. So 3-1 the Reds, please. I'll have that.
I'm going to change my prediction to 1-0.
Oh, okay. No worries. You'll change it 45 times between now and tomorrow. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
See, that's why you just had to be cute and don't even give a prediction like makes. Then you can't look like a fucking idiot.
Ah, yeah, but it doesn't matter. I'll get it in the WhatsApp group. Right, we're going to get out of here. We did say an hour, but it's an hour and 17 now. Before we go, don't forget the link in the description. Davo of this parish and his mates are running 300 kilometres each in March for the Keen. It's mad what they're doing. Every time I even say that, it just blows my mind. But of course, it's for Young Keane and the appeal there. The link is in the description. You can donate via the GoFundMe, or you can go onto their PayPal that they've set up. They're flying with it. I think Davo has about 160 left or whatever it might be. He's absolutely flying. Fair play to him. 10 kilometers a day, every day in the month of March. So it's absolutely flying there. We have got a new website coming. We're hoping, to have that out by the end of the month. It's being worked on. The one thing I will say to people is, we're trying to put a chat room into it where we can just gather you all together. None of this Twitter DMs, none of this, the Flixport app is doing really well, but we'd like to move, if we can, a chat room into this where you literally log in, have a password, have a username. You can go in, there'll be loads of topics there and you can walk away. Plus, there's 500 and odd people watching this. If you want, like writing articles, or you have opinions that you'd like to voice in article form, whether that's on Liverpool, whether that's on football in general, anything at all, get in touch with us, LFCDaytrippers@gmail.com. When this website goes live, there will be a facility there for you to put your words to us. We will take them, we will put them onto the website and send them out as links across our social media, if that's the sort of thing you're into. I'm not going to say it again, because I've said it loads of times and then I just keep saying it, but I'm not going to say it anymore. If people show an interest, we will absolutely put a tab on that website for people to write articles. That can be match reviews, previews, match ratings, you know, your favourite ever fucking Liverpool memory, whatever you want. It doesn't have to be professionally written, just your opinions on football, and we will take them and put them all on the website. All right. The website at the moment will have all the lads on it. It will have all our YouTube links, audio links, iTunes. It will have the lot. And hopefully we will have it done by the end of the month. Grizz, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Thanks for joining me, and we will talk to you during the week.
Inshallah.
Keith, we will see you during the week as well. I know you're on duty on Tuesday with a quiz, isn't that right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh.
I'll be texting you.
You won't. Don't be texting them, asking them for a general fucking outlook on the questions. Just to let people know, Monday is the forum. That's a match reaction, of course. That is Andy, Gar, and the other two, I can't remember. Dicko. And somebody else. Oh, Jamie. The quiz is Tuesday night. I'm having a breeze who's on that. I know Keith's hosting it. Wednesday night is Jamie and myself and two other lads that he's confirming in the next couple of days. That's all about stats, believe it or not. Thursday will be Carnage, and Grizz has managed to rope me into Carnage on the regular. So me and Avi will be joining him.
That was supposed to be breaking news.
It's breaking news now. You have to tell them. And Friday, of course, will be Chris Brack. And I think he's doing a draft on Friday night. So it's all happening this week.
Who's on that?
Well, I'm meant to be on it, But if Chris hasn't replaced me, which I have asked him to do because I'm off to my OS, if I haven't been replaced and Chris is still watching, he might let Shawnee go on Friday night onto that draft. But
keep Shawnee in mind.
Listen, loads of content, new website coming, and of course, if you have anything to say on football Liverpool, let us know and write it down, and we'll get it done for you. That's about it. Thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped. Of course, if you have Bush, get it removed. If you need someone to tell you how to do it, Keith is your man. Don't worry, me and Shawnee are off now to have a big hug and a big game of Warzone. It's the only way we can sort this out. Talk to them over now.
At Capella University, education is as smart as the world around us. With the FlexPath format, you can take classes at your own pace, set your own deadlines, and even leverage your previous experience to move faster. Now that's smart. Learn more at capella.edu.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Sports Social Podcast Network.